ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन सीरीज on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So far we covered the first 75 chapters of the 10th canto, and today we will start 76th chapter and we will cover up to the 81st chapter of 10th canto. In these 6 chapters we will see how Krishna killed 3 demoniac persons named Shalva, Dantavakra and Vidurata, and we will also see the pilgrimage of Lord Balaram. And during that pilgrimage, Lord Balaram also killed Romaharshana, who was quite arrogant and proud of his knowledge. And after that, we will see the most enchanting episode of Sudama and Krishna in the chapters 80 and 81. In the previous episode, we have seen the wonderful loving relationship between Krishna and the Pandavas. In the previous episode, we have seen how Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas worshipped Lord Krishna through the Rajasuya sacrifice, and Krishna killed Shishupala in that sacrifice. And that Shishupala had a friend named Shalva. And this Shalva also accompanied Shishupala to Kundinapur. So we discussed earlier in one episode that Rukmini's brother Rukmi wanted to give Rukmini in marriage to Shishupal. And Shishupal came to Kundinapur along with so many other friends, including Jarasandha and Shalva and quite a few other people. So the Shalva was a dear friend of Shishupal. So demoniac people have demoniac friends only. And the Yadu warriors, they defeated this Shalva when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. So, and now Krishna killed Shishupal also during the Rajasuya sacrifice. So this Shalva became so upset with the death of his friend. Earlier, when the Yadu warriors defeated Shalva, when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, Shalva took a vow. I will just kill all these Yadus. I will just wipe out this Yadu dynasty from this earthly planet. So as a great Kshatriya, he was taking vow to even kill Krishna's Yadu dynasty. And now that his friend, dear friend Shishupal has been died in the hands of Krishna, so Shalva wanted to take revenge against Krishna and also the Yadu dynasty. So Shalva came to attack Dwaraka city. But Krishna was there in Indraprastha. When Krishna was there in Indraprastha, the Shalva came to Dwaraka to attack the city, to attack the Yadus, because Shalva understands that Krishna is the supreme protector of the entire Yadu dynasty in Dwaraka city. In his absence, I can easily destroy this Dwaraka city or the Yadus. So he came, and Shalva started attacking the Dwarakapuri. Then the chief warriors of Dwaraka, of Yadu dynasty, they came out to fight with Shalva. And even before this, the Shalva started doing austerities to please Lord Shiva to equip himself to fight with the Yadus. So Sukadeva Goswami describes in the 76th chapter of 10th canto that Shalva worshipped Lord Shiva by eating just a handful of dust on each day and nothing more. Every day he would just eat a handful of dust. Then like that for one full year he was eating only dust. And then he was doing austerities to please Lord Shiva to get a material boon from Shiva. And Shiva is Asutosh. He is satisfied very quickly. And now this demon is eating only dust and doing so many austerities to please Lord Shiva. Shiva is obliged to come in front of this demon, Shalva, and fulfill his desire. So Shiva came and asked, "You tell me, what do you want? Why are you doing all these austerities?" Then Shalva said, "My dear Shiva, I want a great vehicle that can fly at my will and that should not be destroyed by anyone. So I can travel, I should travel on this airplane anywhere, and that should not be destroyed by anyone. I want a really unconquerable and indestructible airplane. Then Shiva said, okay, you can take it. And Mayadhanava constructed a beautiful flying iron city named Shaubha and presented it to Shalva. So Shalva took this Shaubha city, which is actually an airplane given by Lord Shiva, and with this airplane he came to the city of Dwaraka to attack the Yadus, Yadu dynasty, in the absence of Krishna, when Krishna was in Indraprastha at that time. So Shaubha vehicle was filled with darkness and it could go anywhere at the will of Shalva. And Shalva went to Dwaraka, and Shalva started attacking the city of Dwaraka with his army. So then all the citizens of Dwaraka were getting tormented by Shalva's army. So the chief warriors of Yadu dynasty came out of Dwaraka city to fight with this Shalva. And one of the chief warrior of Yadu dynasty was Pradyumna, who was the son of Lord Krishna. So Pradyumna reassured all the Dwarakavasis. He said, don't fear. As long as I am here as your protector, you have nothing to fear. I will go and fight that Shalva and protect all of you. So he mounted on his chariot, and other chief commanders of Yadu dynasty like Satyaki, Charudeshna, Samba, who was the son of Jambavati Devi, and also Akrura and his brothers. So many such Yadus came to fight with Shalva, and a wild, scary battle took place between Shalva and the Yadus. It's like the battle between demons and the devatas, demigods. We have seen the war between the demons and demigods in the previous cantos, especially in the 8th canto after Samudra Manthan. So this war also resembled that kind of war. And this Shalva, being a demoniac person, he created so many magical illusions to bewilder Pradyumna and other Yadu warriors. So Pradyumna, being very powerful fighter, he easily destroyed all the illusions created by Shalva. And Pradyumna started striking Shalva with his arrows. He shot 25 arrows to destroy this Shalva's commander-in-chief. His name is Dhyuman. And he released 100 arrows to kill Shalva himself. And he released one arrow to kill Shalva's other assistants, officers. And he released 10 arrows to kill the chariot drivers. And he released 3 arrows to kill horses. So like that, Pradyumna is releasing a shower of arrows to attack Shalva's army. And when they saw this glorious deed of Pradyumna, the soldiers from both sides, from the side of Yadus and from the side of Shalva, both praised Pradyumna. So it's nature of genuine Kshatriyas to appreciate the skill of a warrior in fighting. So even if an enemy also exhibits some skill, so this person will, a Kshatriya will appreciate that enemy. So that's the nature of Kshatriyas. So and all the Vrishnis were very eager for victory, and they started fighting with Shalva's army. Then Dhyuman, the commander-in-chief of Shalva, so he wounded Pradyumna very heavily. And now he started beating Pradyumna with his club. He struck Pradyumna with his club, which is made of black steel. And Pradyumna Pradyumna actually got collapsed. So Pradyumna's driver, who was the son of Daruka, Daruka was the driver of Krishna, and Daruka's son was the driver of son of Krishna, that is Pradyumna. So Pradyumna's driver saw that Pradyumna became unconscious because of this blow of this club of Dhyuman. So the driver of Pradyumna just took Pradyumna outside, out of this battlefield to revive him. Then Pradyumna regained his consciousness, and then he found himself not in the battlefield, but outside the battlefield. Then he started chastising his driver, chariot driver. Why did you bring me out of the battlefield? It's a shame upon me. I will be ridiculed by all warriors. How will I show my face to my father Krishna and then Balaram? And other family members, and even in the even ladies also will just will tease me that I have I ran away from the battlefield. I could not stand my enemy in the battlefield. Then The chariot driver of Pradyumna told Pradyumna that you were being wounded so heavily and then you became unconscious, and it is the duty of a chariot driver to protect the warrior in the chariot. So I just acted according to the duty of a chariot driver. Now that you have been revived, you came to consciousness, you have regained your strength, so I will take you now to the battlefield. You can fight with Shalva, no problem. Then Pradyumna again went to the battlefield on his chariot, and Pradyumna started fighting with Dhyuman again. He defeated Dhyuman. So then Pradyumna pierced Dhyuman with 8 arrows, 8 powerful arrows. And Pradyumna eventually even killed Dhyuman. So all the heroes of Yadus killed enemy soldiers, and the battle went for 27 full days. Meanwhile, Krishna, who was staying in Indraprastha, started experiencing some bad omens, inauspicious signs. Then he understood that in my absence, some demon must have attacked my city Dwaraka, and he must be troubling my citizens and the Yadus. So then Krishna understood this, and then he came to Dwaraka. Then when Krishna came to Dwaraka, then he saw that the Dwarakavasis, the warriors in Dwaraka, they were fighting with Shalva demon. Then Krishna immediately, he reassured the citizens, he reassured his family members, and he kept other significant Yadus as the protectors of the family of Yadus. And then he himself called for his chariot driver Dwaruka, and on the chariot of Dwaruka, equipped with all his weapons, so Krishna came out of the city to fight with Shalva. Then Krishna started fighting with Shalva, and Shalva is a very mystic personality. So then Krishna told Dwaruka, Shalva is a great mystic, and he will create so many illusions, he will bewilder you in the battle. So you should not feel surprised, or you should not get bewildered. So let him create his mystic illusions, I can destroy all of them. So you be confident. Then Dwaruka took the Lord's chariot in the battlefield. Then Shalva sent his spears towards the charioteer, and the Lord tore all the weapons of Shalva with his weapons, with his own personal weapons. And then Krishna started piercing the airship, the airplane of Shalva, which is made of black steel, which is constructed by Mayadhanva, and which was given as a gift to Shalva by the Supreme, by Lord Shiva. Then, in this context, Shalva created a magical illusion. So, as Krishna was fighting with Shalva, one messenger came to Krishna to give him a news, and he is the messenger of Devaki, Krishna's mother. And this messenger told Krishna that, Krishna, your father Vasudev has been kidnapped by Shalva. So Krishna heard this news, and Krishna saw Shalva, and Shalva was holding Vasudev, and right in front of Krishna's eyes, Shalva said, now I am going to kill your father. You can protect your father if you can. And then Shalva beheaded Vasudev. Actually, that was not Vasudev. So it was an illusion created by Shalva, and this messenger was also was created by Shalva. So then Krishna found that messenger was missing and Vasudev's body was missing. So he understood that he is not Vasudev. And some people say that Krishna became illusioned because of this. But Krishna, being the most powerful Lord, he can never be illusioned. He can destroy all illusions and all magics created by demoniac people like Shalva. So then Krishna effortlessly killed Shalva with his Sudarshana weapon, so Sudarshana Chakra. Then the Lord, then when Shalva was killed, all the devatas in the higher planets, they started playing musical instruments. And Shalva had a brother named Dantavakra. So Shalva was actually a friend of Dantavakra. So Shalva fell down, and Dantavakra wanting to take revenge for for the death of his friends Shishupal and Shalva. So he came there to attack the Lord. So then Sukadeva Goswami continues in the next chapter, 78th chapter. He says that Shishupala, Shalva, Paundraka and Dantavakra, these were friends. So all these wicked people were friends. So then Paundraka was killed by Krishna, Shishupala was killed by Krishna, Shalva was also killed by Krishna. So Dantavakra came to take revenge on Krishna because Krishna killed all his three friends. So then Krishna picked up his club and he started fighting with Dantavakra. So then Dantavakra said that, what a great luck. So I am able to see Krishna right in front of me. So Dantavakra felt that it is his great fortune to be able to see Krishna, but not out of devotion, out of enmity. So now the killer of my three friends is standing right in front of me. Now I have an opportunity to kill this person who has killed my dearest associates. So out of enmity, Dantavakra became joyful. So he felt so confident that just because Krishna is standing in front of him, he would be able to kill Krishna. But he doesn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in such demoniac people, even if they know and even if they identify Godhood in the Supreme Lord Krishna, still they cannot accept it. So then Dantavakra started speaking, I am obliged to my friends. I will repay the debt to my friends by killing this Yadu, Krishna. So then he tried to harass Krishna with harsh words, and Dantavakra struck the Lord on his head with his club. He was roaring like a lion. So the Lord took his Kaumodaki Gada and then killed Dantavakra very effortlessly. Actually, Shishupala and Dantavakra were Jaya and Vijaya, who were the doorkeepers in Vaikuntha. So Jaya and Vijaya were cursed by the four Kumaras. We discussed this episode in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So because of the curse of four Kumaras, Jaya and Vijaya became demons in this material world for three lifetimes. So in the first lifetime, they were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. In the second lifetime, they were Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and Lord Ramachandra killed them. And in the third lifetime, they became Shishupala and Dantavakra, and Lord Krishna killed both of them. So Krishna already killed Shishupala during the Rajasriya sacrifice, and now Krishna is killing Dantavakra. So then a spark of light came from Dantavakra's body and then entered Krishna. So Krishna in this way effortlessly killed Dantavakra with his Kaumodaki Gada. So Kaumodaki Gada of Krishna is known to kill such demonic people. In the third canto, 28th chapter, in the teachings of Lord Kapila, there is a beautiful shloka that describes the activity of Kaumodaki Gada. Kaumodaki Bhagavato Dayitam Smareta Digdhamarati Bhatashornita Kardamena Malam Madhuvrata Varutha Giropagushtam Chaityasya Tattva Mamalam Manimasya Kanthe Kaumodaki Bhagavato Dayitam Smareta. So this Kaumodaki Gada is extremely dear to the Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu. Why? Digdhamarati Bhatashonita Kardamena. This Kaumodaki Gada is constantly tainted with the blood of demoniac people who trouble devotees. Here is Dantavakra who came to trouble the associates of the Supreme Lord Krishna. How could Krishna tolerate that? Shalva came to trouble and then Dantavakra came to trouble. Dwarakavasis. So Krishna had to teach them a lesson. And this Kaumodaki Gada is described to be the greatest protector of all the devotees. So in the sixth canto, third chapter, we have discussed that Yamaraj told the Yamadutas, never approach devotees of Krishna, because the devotees of Krishna are constantly protected by the Lord's Kaumodaki Gada. So Kaumodaki Gada is constantly encircling the devotees of the Lord, and whenever somebody tries to attack or harm the devotees, this Kaumodaki Gada will punish them. So that's the nature of Kaumudaki Gada. So Yamaraj says that you should bring those people who never chant the holy names of the Lord, who never bow down in front of the Lord. And he was instructing the Yamadutas, you should bring those people who never have done anything connected to the Supreme Lord. So he says,
Jihvana Vakti Bhagavad Gunanama Dheyam Chetascha Nasmarati Tacharanara Vindam Krishnaya No Namati Yachira Ekadapi Tanana Vadhamasato Krita Vishnu Krityan.
Jihva na vakti bhagavat guna nama dheyam. If one does not chant the holy name of Krishna even once, chetaschana smarati tacharana aravindam. If a person does not remember the Lord within his mind even once, krishnayano namate yat chira ekadapi. If a person does not bow down in front of Krishna even once, such a person is entitled for punishment by Yamaraj. Yamadutas are supposed to arrest such people and take them to Yamalok and present them in front of Yamaraj. So Yamaraj tells like this. But Yamaraj did not give any permission to Yamadutas to bring any devotees, because Yamadutas cannot even touch those devotees.
Te deva siddha parigita pavitra gatha ये साधवो समदृशो भगवत प्रपन्नः तान्नो पसीदत हरेर गदया भिगुप्तान नैषां वयम् न च वयः प्रभवामदण्डे ते देव सिद्ध परिगीत पवित्र गाथा.
सो द ग्लोरीज ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑफ कृष्णा आर संग बाय ग्रेट देवतास एंड सिद्धास एंड सेजेस बिकॉज दे आर पवित्र गाथास. दे आर वेरी प्योर एंड ऑस्पिशियस नरेशंस. ते देव सिद्ध परिगीत पवित्र गाथा ये साधवः समदृशो भगवत प्रपन्नः. डिवोटीज आर साधुस, दे आर समदृश, दे हैव इक्वल विजन एंड दे आर भगवत प्रपन्नः. दे आर कंप्लीटली सरेंडर्ड इन टू कृष्ण.
तान्नोपसीदत, नेवर ट्राई टू अप्रोच देम. हरेर गदया विघुप्तान,
बिकॉज दे आर कॉन्स्टेंटली प्रोटेक्टेड बाई लॉर्ड हरिस गदा, कौमोदकी गदा. नैषां वयम् न च वयः प्रभवाम दण्डे. इवन ब्रह्मा कैनॉट अटैक देम, इवन टाइम फैक्टर कैनॉट अटैक देम, इवन यमराज कैनॉट अटैक देम. हाउ कैन शिशुपाल आर दंतवक्र आर शाल्वा आर अदर डीमंस अटैक देम? सो हूएवर अटैक्स द्वारकावासीज, दे कैनॉट सर्वाइव. सो कृष्णा विल पनिश देम. सो शिशुपाल, सो कृष्णा किल्ड दंतवक्र, एर्लियर ही किल्ड शाल्वा ऑल्सो. सो Krishna, the master of all mystic powers, the lord of the universe, is ever victorious. Only those who are beastly think he sometimes suffers defeat. So he is never defeated.
Evam yogeshwarah krishno bhagavan jagadishwarah iyate pashudrishtinam nirjito jayati tisah.
So evam yogeshwaro krishno, Krishna is yogeshwara, he is the supreme master of all mystic powers. Bhagavan Jagadishwarah, he is Bhagavan, he is endowed with all six opulences completely. He has full wealth, wisdom and everything. And he Jagadishwarah, he is the lord of the entire universe. And Iyate Pashudrishtinam, people who have animalistic vision only can only think that the lord is defeated sometimes. But the lord is always victorious. He is Vidhur Jayati. No one can surpass Krishna in one's super excellence. So Krishna killed Shalva, Krishna killed Dantavakra also. So, and also Dantavakra had a brother named Vidhurata. So he came with a sword to kill the Lord. So Krishna could easily kill Vidhurata also. So Krishna killed three demons at a time: Shalva, Dantavakra and Vidhurata, all three of them. So actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in his commentary that Dantavakra and Vidhurata happened to attack Mathura, not Dwaraka. So when they were attacking Mathura, Krishna immediately, just within a moment, he went from this Dwaraka to Mathura and killed Dantavakra and Vidhurata. So after killing Shalva, so he went to Mathura and killed them. So that completes the episode of how Krishna killed these demons. So Shishupala was killed in the Indraprastha only. Then Shalva was killed in Dwaraka, and Dantavakra and Vidhurata were also killed. So after this, Sukadeva Goswami describes another beautiful episode of Lord Balaramji. So Balaram goes for a pilgrimage. When the disputes between Pandavas and Duryodhan and party increased so much that they were finally about to confront in a war at Kurukshetra, at that time Balaramji did not want to take anyone's side. So Krishna definitely took the side of Pandavas, but Balaramji wanted to remain neutral. He does not want to take anyone's side. So he thought it wise to just go for pilgrimage and visit so many holy places. So Balaramji goes for a pilgrimage, and as Pandavas were preparing for their war, so Balaramji went to different holy places. He went to Prabhasa Kshetra, and he also visited Bindusaras. It's a great lake. And he went to Tritakupa, then Sudarshana, Vilasa, Brahmatirtha, Chakratirtha, and he also went to Saraswati River, and he eventually came to Naimisharanya. So Bhagavatam, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, begins at the spot of Naimisharanya, where Suta Goswami started speaking Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya. So Lord Balaram went to visit Naimisharanya during his travels, during his pilgrimage. Then at Naimisharanya, all the sages met Balaramji and they received Balaramji with great respect and reverence. And Balaramji was worshipped by all these great sages. But at that time, Romaharshan Suta was sitting on an elevated seat and he was addressing all these Brahmanas. So this Romaharshana did not get up from his seat when Lord Balaram came there. So Balaramji identified this Romaharshana is very proud, very puffed up of his great learning. So he is speaking on spiritual subject matters to these great sages and Brahmanas, but he does not have the humility, he does not have the necessary intelligence or modesty or humility to even get up from his seat and offer respects to me. So Balaramji felt that this person is very arrogant and this Romaharshani doesn't deserve to live. So Balaramji just picked up a blade of grass, and then with the tip of that grass, so he killed Romaharshana. So Balaramji chastised Romaharshana also before killing him. He said, "You fool, you are born of improper marriage, you deserve to die, because you are sitting on an elevated seat in front of so many Brahmanas and above me also, and you don't have the courtesy or humility or modesty to get up and offer respects. So although you are a disciple of Vyasa, although you are learned in so many Vedic scriptures and law books and itihasas and Puranas, still all your learning is contaminated by your proud behavior and proud attitude. So your study did not produce any good qualities in you. So it's like an actor studying his part. For example, in a drama, an actor may just take his role, take his dialogues, and then he study his part, and he will just act and then come out. So if a person just speaks on scriptures because of his knowledge or intelligence or presentation skills, but he does not have the necessary character, if he does not make a sincere attempt to imbibe the values that are taught by the scriptures, and if he is just repeating the words of the scriptures with great pride, without any transformation of character, so that such a person deserves to be punished. So Balaramji punished him. So actually, by studying so many scriptures or various other Vedic literatures, one could become a scholar. But scholarship is an insignificant byproduct of scriptural study. But the end product of scriptural study should be transformation of character, should be pure love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. and respectful attitude towards Vaishnavas. So scholarship is not the end product of scriptural study, it's only a byproduct. And even if one does not become a scholar in scriptures, that's fine, not a problem. So one need not know everything, one need not become a scholar, but one should have right character. One should be respectful to the Supreme Lord. One should have love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. One should be respectful to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. One should not be proud. One should not be arrogant. So, although a person studies all the scriptures, he has so much of understanding and knowledge and memory that he repeats the scriptures and he quotes so many shlokas left, right, center, and he could even mesmerize different audiences. But still, if there is any pride or envy in the heart of such a person, he has not actually understood even a single syllable of what he is studying and speaking. So, once scholarship or knowledge is actually contaminated by pride or envy. So, Balaramji did not approve the arrogant behavior of Romaharshan. So, by studying all the scriptures, one should actually become humble. Because the scriptures are presenting the divine spiritual knowledge about the supremely spiritual Lord, Krishna. So, and also scriptures are describing our own position as servants of that Lord. Servants of the servants of the servants of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So, by actually studying scriptures and understanding the real import of scriptures, one should imbibe this mood of being a servant of the Supreme Lord. Unless that service attitude and the mood of being a servant of the Lord manifests in the sincere reader of a scripture, he is actually becoming proud. So one should, that should be the end product to come into the mood of a servant of the servant. But if one is just becoming proud of one's scriptural knowledge, then one could fall down. Just like you see in the case of Romaharshana, who is personally punished by Balaram. So we have seen so many examples of great personalities, like if you see Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has presented such a magnum opus literature of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is considered most authoritative scripture on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and philosophy. But still, Kaviraj Goswami often describes himself as very lowly and very humble in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that Vrindavan Das Thakur has already written the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but because he feared that his book would become very voluminous, that is Chaitanya Bhagavat. Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, he considered that the book would become very voluminous. So, he elaborated the pastimes, initial pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, but he did not elaborate the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, while writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is also supposed to be the narration of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he did not touch or he did not elaborate on any of the pastimes written by Vrindavan Das Thakur already. He said, Vrindavan Das Thakur has already written these pastimes, so I will not write them. I will write whatever he has not written only. So like that, Kaviraj Goswami is expressing a lot of humility in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his overall behavior. And also, Prabhupada, he has translated Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and all these great Vedic scriptures into the English language. But at the end, he says that I neither have devotion nor knowledge. He is Bhakti Vedanta, but he says that I don't have Bhakti, I don't know Vedanta. If there is any credit for my translation of these scriptures into English, all that credit should go to my spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he instructed me to write the scriptures. And Prabhupada has not only given credit to his spiritual master, he has also given credit to his disciples and followers who have assisted him in publishing this literature. So, Prabhupada has given all credit to other devotees, his superiors and his assistants also, but he himself did not take any credit. So, in this way, if one is really a scholar, If one is really learned in scriptures, one is really humble. But if he is not humble, then he has not actually understood the scriptures. That's what Ramaharshan Sutta's episode is instructing us. It's a very instructive episode for all those people who are trying to understand the scriptures. That is the mood. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, ninth chapter, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets a Brahmana in Srinangam. So he is a South Indian Brahmana and he is reading Bhagavad Gita and he is unable to read Bhagavad Gita properly because he is not very well educated. He is almost illiterate. So, but he is crying while reading Bhagavad Gita because he is unable to read Bhagavad Gita. All the Brahmanas and other people who are seeing him, they started mocking him and then teasing him and laughing at him. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this South Indian Brahmana. When this South Indian Brahmana was crying tears of ecstasy while reading this book Bhagavad Gita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and asked him, "My dear Brahmana, what section of Bhagavad Gita is giving you so much of joy?" Then this Brahmana said that when I see this Bhagavad Gita, I remember Lord Krishna, who has accepted the role of a chariot driver for his own devotee Arjuna. Just thinking quality of Krishna, tears are coming from my eyes. So I don't know why. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you have developed so much of love for Krishna. And this Brahmana also said that, although I am unable to read Bhagavad Gita because I don't know how to read, still because my Guru instructed me to read, I am reading Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that you have developed so much love for Krishna and you are so submissive to your Guru. So I declare, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So he says that I declare that whatever you have understood in Bhagavad Gita constitutes the essential message of Bhagavad Gita. Because you have the best understanding of Bhagavad Gita. So it's not about being very scholarly or very knowledgeable about the contents of the scripture, but one should also imbibe the spirit that scripture is teaching us. So this South Indian Brahmana has submissiveness towards superiors, his guru, and he has love for Krishna. So if our scriptural study doesn't lead us to submissiveness to Guru and love for Krishna, and if it is only leading us to become arrogant and proud of one's knowledge and learning, then we have not actually understood the scripture. So here Ramaharshan Sutta is punished in this way by Lord Balaramji himself. So it's a very instructive episode for all those people who are reading scriptures. So that doesn't mean we should avoid reading scriptures also. We should read scriptures, but in a very humble manner. We should maintain the mood of humility. We should be very submissive to our superiors, and we should also develop that humility and not pride. So all the sages told Balaramji, "My dear Balaram, you have killed Ramaharshan. Because you are the Lord, whatever you decide is appropriate, but still we have given him blessings that he will live long, for a long time. So because that now that you have killed him, our blessings will become false." So this is also another point, that when somebody becomes an offender to the Lord or Vaishnavas, he will lose even all his blessings also. So Ramaharshan Sutta died. Ramaharshan died. So then also he is a Brahmana, whatever he may be arrogant or proud, but he is a Brahmana. So you have killed a Brahmana and you have to perform some atonement. Although you are beyond the necessity to perform any atonement, still to set the right example for common people to follow, you can perform some atonement. Then Balaramji became very kind to this sages and Brahmanas there. He said that, "Yes, I will preserve your blessings. Second, I will also fulfill your desire, whatever you may have, and I will also perform some atonement for killing Romaharshan. Balaramji said that, although he is not obliged to do it. So first thing, Balaramji preserved the blessings given by the sages or Brahmanas to Romaharshana by blessing Romaharshana's son Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami is the son of Romaharshan, and he says that Romaharshana's son should become the speaker of Puranas, and let him be endowed with long life and stamina and strong senses. So whatever blessings you have given to Romaharshana will be transferred to his son Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami is such an exalted personality. So he would be speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Naimisharanya sages. So that's how Srimad Bhagavatam began in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Suta Goswami is glorified by Shaunaka Rishi in a very wonderful manner. In the first canto we have discussed, Ved tattvam somya tat sarvam tattvatastad anugrahat bhruyuh snigdhasya shishyasya gurava guhyam apyutat. So in this shloka, Ved tattvam means Suta Goswami is glorified by Shaunaka Rishi as Ved tattvam. You know everything. You are greatly learned personality. Why? Saumya. You are very saumya, very simple hearted, very pure hearted. Saumya tat sarvam tattvatah tadanugrahat. So you have been bestowed with all knowledge of scriptures by the anugraha, by the mercy or blessings of your gurus, your teachers. Saumya tattvatah tadanugrahat bhruyuh snigdhasya shishyasya. You are snigdha shishya, you are very submissive disciple to your gurus. So, because Suta Goswami had these two qualities, Saumya and Snigdha, means on a personal level he is very simple and pure, and when he is dealing with his gurus, he is very submissive and obedient, and he had a lot of service attitude. So, because of these qualities of his personal simplicity and submissiveness to Guru, all his gurus have imparted upon him all the confidential knowledge. Gurava guhyam apyutat. So they have revealed everything, although they are confidential, to Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami is very submissive, although he is learned. He is very simple and pure-hearted and respectful to Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord, although he is learned. But Romaharshan was not like that. So he was punished by Balaramji. So this is the instructive message here. And Balaramji transferred all the blessings upon Romaharshan Suta to Suta Goswami. So then Balaramji also asked the sages, what kind of benediction you want? I will fulfill your desire. Then the sages said, my dear Balaram, we are being tormented by one demon named Balvala. So can you please kill him? We are doing our sacrifices and rituals, and this Balvala demon is coming and disturbing all our activities. So you should please kill him. So that's one desire. And as an atonement for killing Romaharshana, Balaramji said that I will go for pilgrimage. I will visit all kinds of holy places. So then, for 12 months, Balaramji went for pilgrimage. Means for one full year, Balaramji went for pilgrimage. And he was executing austerities and meditation. And he took bath in various holy places. And Balaramji, of course, he also killed Balvala demon. That's described in the 79th chapter. So Balvala, when the sages were doing their rituals and sacrifices on the new moon day, Balvala came there. First he was invisible. He had sent some foul smell, foul odor first. And the whole atmosphere is filled with the smell of pus. First he came in that form. And later Balvala himself came in his physical appearance, and Balaramji thought of his club and plough. So he invoked the presence of his hala, plough, and his club, gada. And then he killed, he struck this Balvala demon with his club and he killed him. So then the forehead of this Balvala demon cracked open, and the sages honored Balaramji. So thank you so much for killing this Balvala demon. And then Balaramji went for pilgrimage. So Balaramji went to Kaushiki river, Sarayu river, he went to Prayaga and he went to the ashram of Pulaharishi, that is Pulahashrama, and he also went to Gomati river and Gandaki river and he bathed there. So we discussed this Pulahashrama and Gandaki river in the fifth canto during Bharat Maharaj's episode. Bharat also goes there for doing his austerities. And then Balaramji also went to Gaya and he went to Mount Mahendra and he met Lord Parasuramji there. And also he went to Sri Shaila, he went to South India, he went to Sri Shaila, Dravidadesha. And he also went to Srirangam, Kanchi. And he also went to Rishabha Mountain, he went to Setubandha, he went all the way to Kerala, he went to a Durga temple there. He saw Kanyakumari, he saw Falguna Tirtha, and there he gave 10,000 cows in charity. And he went to River Reva and Dandaka Forest and Prabhasa Kshetra. And finally he returned to Prabhasa Kshetra. And he also went to Mahishmati. And then he returned to Prabhasa Kshetra. Then, by this time, when Balaramji completed all his pilgrimages, by this time, Kurukshetra war was over. And finally, Bhima and Duryodhan, they started fighting with each other. At that time, Balaramji appeared on that spot. So he saw Balaramji. Balaramji saw Duryodhan and Bhima with great eagerness to fight with each other. So Balaramji thought that this fight is unnecessary. So he went and spoke to Bhima and Duryodhan. He said, you both are equal in strength. One person has more, one of you have more physical strength, other person has more skill, he is very skillful in fighting. So because you are almost on an equal level as warriors, as fighters, nobody will lose, nobody will win. Unnecessarily you are fighting with each other. So I would suggest that please avoid this fight. But Bhima and Duryodhan were not in a mood to listen to this advice. So their enmity towards each other and their eagerness to fight with each other and defeat the other was so much that they could not accept the suggestion given by Balaramji. So Balaramji went back to Dwaraka, and later Bhima and Duryodhan fought with each other, and you know what happened. So Bhima broke the thigh of Duryodhan and Duryodhan was lying in a pool of blood, defeated. Then Balaramji again went to Naimisharanya and met the sages there. He blessed all the sages there. So Balaramji bestowed upon the sages pure spiritual knowledge. And Balaramji also performed some oblations and other rituals there. And many other pastimes were performed by this powerful Balaramji. And all the activities of Balaramji are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become dear to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This is the Phalashruti given by Sukadeva Goswami at the end of this pastimes of Balaram. So after this, Sukadeva Goswami describes another beautiful episode of Sudama and Krishna in the 80th and 81st chapters. So Parikshit Maharaj became very eager to know about the story of Sudama and Krishna. So he says, he speaks two beautiful shlokas in the beginning of the 80th chapter to express his eagerness to hear more about Krishna Katha. Parikshit Maharaj says, Savagya tasya gunan grinite karauchatat karma karaumanascha smaredva santam sthirajangameshu shrunoti tat punya kathah sakarnah shirastu tasyo bhaga lingamanamet tadeva yat pasyati tat dhichakshuh angani vishnor athata jananam padodakam yani bhajanti nityam. So in this two shlokas, Parikshit Maharaj basically describes the right utility of all the limbs of a human being. He says that actual speech of a human being must be utilized in glorifying the Supreme Lord. We discussed this in Ambarish Maharaj's episode also. Savai manaha Krishna padaravinda yor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. One should engage the power of one's speech in glorifying Krishna, and one should engage one's hands in working for Krishna, means serving Him. One should engage one's mind in always remembering Krishna. One should engage one's ears in hearing Krishna Katha. One should engage one's head in bowing down in front of Krishna. One should engage one's eyes to see Krishna. In this way, all the bodily limbs are meant to engage in Krishna consciousness. And he says, Parikshit Maharaj in this way expresses his deep eagerness to hear more Krishna Katha. Then Sukadeva Goswami starts narrating the Sudama episode. So Sukadeva Goswami says, Krishna syatsit sakha kaschit brahmano brahmavittamah virakta indriyartheshu prasannatma jitindriyah. He speaks about Sudama first. Krishnasya asit sakha kaschit. Lord Krishna had a friend named Sudama. So brahmano brahmavittamah, he is a brahmana, he is brahmavittamah, he is very well aware of spiritual knowledge. And virakta indriya artheshu, virakta means he is very detached from what? Indriya artheshu, from all sense objects. And prasannatma, he is very peaceful. Jitendriya, he is very self-controlled. And further he describes, yadrichayopapannena vartamano grahashrami tasya bharya kuchailasya kshutkshama chatatha vidham. Yadruchayopapannena. The Sudama is satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. Means he does not become greedy, or he does not over endeavor to acquire material facilities. Whatever comes of its own accord, he just maintains himself and his family. So vartamano grahashrami, he is a grahastha. And tasya bharya kuchailasya, his wife is a very chaste woman, chaste brahmani. So she requested kuchaila. This Sudama is also called kuchaila sometimes. So she requested Sudama's wife requested Sudama to go and ask for some help from Krishna. Because Sudama is a very detached brahmana, and he is so emaciated, he has no wealth, he is very poor, he is unable to maintain his family also, he was unable to feed his children also. So seeing the piteous condition of Sudama, Sudama's wife gave him an advice. My dear husband, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is your direct friend. Because when Krishna came from Vrindavan to Mathura and killed Kamsa, then Vasudeva had sent Krishna and Balaram to the school of Sandipan Muni. So, at the time, Sudama was also studying in the school of Sandipan Muni. So, Krishna and Sudama were friends in Sandipan Muni's school. And Sudama's wife is aware of this, and she told that, can you please go and meet your childhood friend Krishna? He is the master of Yadus. He is very favorable to the Brahmanas, and he is your dearest friend also. If you go and seek some help from Krishna, he would not deny. So he would definitely help you. So please go and ask him for some financial assistance. But Sudama was not very much excited with this proposal. He did not want to go to his friend and ask for some money. But Sudama's wife started requesting him several times. So then Sudama was finally obliged to go to Krishna to ask for some financial assistance. But Sudama was not excited to ask him for some money. But Sudama was very much excited that after a long time, I am going to see my friend Krishna. With great love and affection, Sudama agreed to go to Krishna. And Sudama wanted to take some gift for Krishna because he is meeting Krishna for a long time. So then Sudama's wife went to some neighbor's houses and begged just four handfuls of flat rice and tied them in a torn cloth and gave it to Sudama. You can give this flat rice as gift to your friend. Then Sudama took this flat rice and went to Dwaraka to see Krishna. And Sudama went to Rukmini Devi's palace because Krishna was there in Rukmini Devi's palace at the time. And as soon as Krishna saw Sudama, he became so ecstatic, so happy. Because Krishna is generally very respectful to Brahmanas, and this Brahmana also happens to be Krishna's friend. So Krishna is happy for two reasons. A Brahmana came to my house and my friend came to my house. So Krishna just got up from his seat and he came towards Sudama, and he embraced Sudama with great love and affection, and he became so happy. And Sudama also became very happy and Krishna made Sudama sit on his personal bedstead, personal couch. And Sudama was seated there and Krishna started washing the feet of Sudama with great love and affection. Krishna actually had tears in his eyes, as you can see in that picture. Krishna had tears in his eyes while he was washing the feet of Sudama, you know, with great love and respect. And Sudama felt so embarrassed because Krishna and Rukmini, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Goddess of Fortune, so they were receiving Sudama. And while Krishna was washing the feet of Sudama personally with his own hands, he sat down and he made Sudama sit on his couch, on his bed. So seeing such a intimate and unprecedented reciprocation with this Brahmana, all the palace residents were surprised. Wow, who is this Brahmana? He looks so poor. He has torn clothes. He looks so emaciated. And then this Krishna is giving so much of attention and respect and love to this Brahmana. All people were very much astonished. And Rukmini Devi personally started fanning Sudama. And she also offered worship paraphernalia so that Krishna can worship. You can see Rukmini also sitting next to Krishna. And in the next picture, you can see Rukmini doing chamar. So in this context, there is a shloka. Kuchailam malinam kshamam dvijam dhamani santatam devi paryacharat sakshat chamaravyajane navai. So devi paryacharat sakshat, Rukmini Devi, although she is the goddess of fortune, she is personally serving Sudama with the chamar and vyajan, the fans. And kuchailam malinam kshamam, so she is kuchaila, this Sudama, he is very emaciated. His bones are visible. And dvijam dhamani santatam, all his bones are actually visible. He was so thin, so lean. And all the palace residents were so astonished. And Krishna and Sudama took each other's hands and they started talking very intimately. And Krishna glorified Sudama. My dear Sudama, Brahmana, after completing our education, after giving Guru Dakshina, we both came to our respective homes. After that, we never met with each other. I hope that you have married a suitable wife, compatible Brahmana wife. And I am aware that even though you are in family, your mind is never affected by any material desires. So, having given up all material propensities that are actually products of Maya, so still, you must be executing your family duties very meticulously. I understand that. And also, do you remember, Krishna actually reminds Sudama of a beautiful incident that happened in the Gurukul, in Sandipani Muni school. So Krishna glorifies Brahmanas in general, Krishna glorifies Sudama in specific, and Krishna later remembers one incident that happened in Gurukul. So he says that during our Gurukul days, in our school days, once our guru's wife, Sandipani Muni's wife, ordered us to get some firewood from the forest. So you and me both went to the forest to collect some firewood. But we were stuck in the forest because there was a huge storm. There was a lot of rain. So we could not find our way. So it was too dark and it was too cold. So we, although the atmosphere was filled with floody waters and rains, we held each other's hands very tightly. We did not leave each other. And we were so determined to serve our Guru. So in the forest, which is covered with full darkness, we could not even distinguish between high and low lands. At that time, we lost our way. We were amidst flooding waters. So, but we were together. So early in the morning, Sandipani Muni, realizing that we did not come back home. So he started searching for us like our dear father. So then finally he found us and he blessed both of us that whatever we have learnt in his school will never lose its value to us, will never lose its meaning in our lives. So although people may go and study under a teacher, They may learn so many moral values and knowledge and wisdom, but still they may not be able to remember all that what they have learned. They may not be able to apply. They may not find the teachings very relevant or meaningful also if they are not very attentive. But Sandipanmuni blessed that you both are like first class brahmanas. I am satisfied with you. May all your desires be fulfilled and may all the Vedic mantras you have learnt never lose their meaning for you. So, although we acquire a lot of knowledge, we may not remember or apply it, or we may not find it relevant or meaningful. But one who is really blessed by Guru, who is pleased with the service of the disciple, such a disciple can make best out of what he has learned from his spiritual master. That we can learn from this example of Krishna and Sudama. So they sincerely served their Guru, and the Guru also, Sandipanmuni also sincerely blessed Krishna and Sudama that whatever they have learnt will be very purposeful and meaningful and very useful in their lives. And Sudama also glorified Krishna that you are supreme absolute truth, and you are studying in school is just a part of your pastime. You need not study anything. So in this way, Krishna and Sudama intimately discussed with each other, and they exchanged pleasantries, and they shared their previous sweet memories, because they are meeting after a long time, dear friends. And Krishna asked after some time, Sudama, you are coming to meet me after a long time, so you must have got some gift for me. What gift did you get? Then when Krishna asked like this, Sudama felt so embarrassed to present his gift, because the gift that he got for Krishna is just 4 handfuls of flat rice. That too, it was there, that was packed in a torn cloth, and his wife begged from some neighbors and then brought it for Sudama to give it to Krishna. So Sudama felt so embarrassed and awkward to present this kind of gift to Krishna, because he saw Krishna in the midst of so much of opulence. So Sudama was not presenting this gift. But Krishna said that, no, you must have got something for me. So what is that you are hiding? So Krishna just grabbed that flat rice, and then he opened the cloth and he found flat rice. And Krishna said, I like it so much. And then Krishna took one morsel and then put it in his hand, as if it were the greatest nectar and the best food item he has ever eaten. Krishna was relishing that morsel of sweet rice. And Krishna says, Patram pushpam falam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti pahritam ashna miprayatatmanah. So Krishna tells Sudama that one who offers me patram, a leaf, pushpam means a flower, falam, fruit, toyam, water. See, if one offers me even such simple things with devotion, I accept them. So Sudama offered offered little flat rice only, but still he brought it with a lot of devotion and love and affection. So Krishna is very happy to receive that simple offering given by Sudama. So Krishna actually accepts our love more than the offering that is actually external. So then Krishna took one palmful of that chipped rice, flat rice, and then when he was about to take second morsel, Rukmini Devi stopped him. Enough. You have already reciprocated with the love and affection of Sudama, and you have already bestowed so much of wealth upon him by accepting this little flat rice. So please don't take second one. So Rukmini said, by your satisfaction one will achieve everything in this life, in the next life also. You are already satisfied with one morsel. Enough. Then Sudama spent that night there, and then he bade farewell to Krishna and he started back to his house. And Sudama did not mention anything about the purpose of his visit. Sudama did not say, I am in some financial problems, can you please give me some money? He did not say anything like that. So Sudama just silently started back to his house, and he was so satisfied, so grateful, so happy for seeing Krishna and receiving such love and affection from Krishna. So Sudama was very happy and so grateful.
And he said, Kvaham daridraha papiyan kaha krishna shriniketanaha brahma bandhur itismaham bahubhyam parirambhitaha kaham kvaham daridraha papiyan. I am a daridra, I am a poor fellow, papi, I am also very sinful. So where am I? And kva krishna srini ketanaha, where is Krishna, who is the abode of the abode or residence of goddess of fortune? And brahma bandhur itismaham bahubhyam parirambhita. I am a brahma bandhu, means I am not a qualified brahmana. Actually he is a qualified brahmana, but out of his humility he is thinking that I am not a perfect brahmana, but still, although Krishna is so great, I am so poor, still Krishna embraced me with his two arms. Bahubhyam parirambhitaha means embracing. So he treated me just like his own brother. And his wife, goddess of fortune, Rukmini Devi, fanned me with chamar and vyajan. So although he is the Lord, he is worshipped even by devatas, he washed my feet. So Krishna is so kind, Krishna is so great. So in this way, Sudama started glorifying and appreciating Krishna within his heart. Devotional service unto the lotus feet of Krishna is the root cause of all perfections that no one can find anywhere in the entire material creation. Sudama thought, if a poor wretch becomes so rich, he will forget the Lord in intoxication. That's why Krishna did not give me anything, and I also never asked Krishna. So in this way, Sudama went into a great devotional contemplation on his way back from Dwaraka to his home. So while thinking like that, Sudama reached his home. But when Sudama reached his home, he at that place where his home used to be there, he found a great palace, and Sudama was so surprised, and he also saw, and he was thinking, what is this? Well, whose property is this? Whose palace is this? Where is my hut? Then as he was thinking like this, his wife and his children came out. They were so opulently decorated. So they came and took Sudama inside the palace. And Sudama understood, oh, this is all because of the benediction and mercy of Krishna. So just because I am Krishna's dear friend, so Krishna bestowed so much of opulence upon me. But I should not be attached to this external opulence. I should be fixed up in my devotion towards Krishna. So Sudama was never distracted by this material opulence, and Sudama definitely became very happy with such a nice intimate reciprocation given by Krishna, and he continued his devotional service to Krishna, and eventually he was released from the whole bondage of this material work, and he attained perfection. So in this way Krishna blessed Sudama. So today we discussed how Krishna killed Shalva, Dantavakra and Vidhurata, and protected Dwarakavasis, and protected the city of Mathura also. And later we discussed Balaramji's pilgrimage, and especially how he punished Romaharshana, and he blessed Suta Goswami. And later we have also seen how Krishna blessed Sudama. So thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.